You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUX webradio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Tuesday edition. There are several stories that will continue really into next week, but the one that's getting probably the most attention on a number of fronts is the confrontation between the United States and North Korea. We have an aircraft carrier group approaching North Korea right now, as well as a nuclear submarine with over 100 cruise missiles. Some of them, I'm sure, are nuclear as well as conventional. So the question is, who's going to blink? Is this a big bluff on everyone's part? Is it just bombast on both parties' part? Or are we going to see some bang and booms? This is, or could be, a very, very dangerous situation. What's happened is, over a period of 25 years, some would say longer, the United States has tried, under several presidents, either diplomacy with sticks, sanctions, or diplomacy with carrots, aid, food, or we've tried to totally ignore them. What's changed? North Korea is now producing nuclear weapons at a much faster rate, probably at least one every 6 weeks, 8 weeks. They're also developing their missile technologies so that it has a much longer range. And there's a strong suspicion, if not a certainty, that a lot of this is funded by the Islamic Republic of Iran, where we supposedly have not a treaty, but an agreement with them. And you have to make that connection. North Korea developed a nuclear bomb initially to be carried on an aircraft to forestall any invasion by either South Korea or the United States or both. It is now taking that over the years much further, and they have both a submarine launched and a truck launched missiles of various ranges. What's threatening to the United States is they will soon perfect a missile that does have a range that could hit parts of the West Coast. That is of concern. Now, how many they have is an open question, and the reliability of them. The same is true for nuclear weapons. You need to downsize the size of those nuclear weapons to put them on a missile. It's not just the question of building a big bomb. You can do that, but it's miniaturizing it and testing it both underground and above ground, and you learn by doing, and North Korea has been doing a lot of this. So it looks like a confrontation is definitely going to happen. The question is the timing and when. The Senate, the 100 senators, at the request of the majority leader, will be in the White House tomorrow. So it'll probably be Thursday before I can give you the information of the meeting. But there is definitely a meeting at the White House in which the senators will be briefed by the Secretary of Defense, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, intelligence on what exactly is happening between the United States and North Korea. We're conducting right now military exercises with the South Koreans, and the North Koreans are conducting military exercise celebrating the anniversary of the founding of their army. So tensions are high. What I wanted to do is point out some concerns. Supposedly, Communist China is bringing pressure on North Korea. I'm sure they've had talks, and there's been speculation that maybe the Communist Chinese would support elements of the leadership, military, to overthrow the dictator there. It may or may not be successful, and it could happen, though. Some are saying it's exactly what might happen. I don't know. Who knows? I'm not privy to that type of intelligence. Now, we've seen a lot of photographs, videos, other leader reviewing troops, and they've made threats, the latest being they are threatening to sink our U.S. aircraft carrier. Good luck. Not saying it's not a target, and certain nations with submarines could very well be a serious threat to a U.S. aircraft carrier. I don't think the North Koreans would start that type of an attack because they know they'll be wiped out. Their regime would be wiped out, and we would use whatever weapons we have that require to do that. The danger is escalation. What happens then in terms of what would the Communist Chinese do and what will Russia do? The Communist Chinese do not want the United States and or Korea right at its borders. So they don't want a reunited North and South Korea. And the biggest threat is to our ally, South Korea, because it faces they're in range of artillery in the mountains of North Korea that could and would fire if they attack South Korea and level the city, and the deaths would be in the hundreds of thousands, if not millions. We don't want a land war, another land war in Korea. It would be, the casualties would be high. Some have speculated over a million plus. And many of those, and most of them, would be civilians. And it would go on for many, many months. It would require mobilization, I think, on a part of the United States. And it's a long distance from the United States to North Korea. And we run the risk of replaying the Korean War. And remember, initially, there was a surprise attack by the North. And we had a so-called United Nations police action to try to stop it. General Douglas MacArthur led our efforts. However, he was relieved by President Truman because MacArthur wanted to take the war into Communist China. And you need to look at a map. What's interesting is North Korea, if you draw circles around it, these missiles can hit China, they can hit Japan, and their long-range intercontinental can hit India, parts of Australia, parts of the United States, mainly the West Coast. The question is, how accurate are those missiles, and how many do they have of them? Remember, this is a totalitarian regime. There are a few outsiders that are in it, and when I was preparing the show, apparently North Korea has detained, I don't know if arrested, but detained an American that was in the process of leaving, probably to hold him as a hostage. When you're in this kind of situation, it can easily escalate. That is, I think, the concern of all parties, not only in terms of the level of violence, but the type of violence. From conventional to nuclear. And once that happens, it's hard to go back. It's hard to reverse yourself. So we've had a lot of talk, a lot of threats, bombast, bluffs. Donald Trump has made it very, very clear. Our president has made it very, very clear that this will not continue. In essence, what he's telling the North Koreans, you're going to have to dismantle your nuclear program and your missile program. That is not going to sit well with them. And Donald Trump, unlike President Obama, doesn't draw red lines. He's very much, as commander-in-chief, is going to issue the orders. And I think messages have been sent in Syria in terms of that cruise missiles that we launched to take out aircrafts sitting at an airfield, an air base in Syria. I'm sure those type of weapons will be used in North Korea. And I want you to first think about what you'd have to do. Most of these nuclear facilities are in the mountains, deep in the mountains. Now, they're valleys where they enter. So it would require bombing. We have stealth bombers. We also have B-52s, B-2s that could be used, as well as fighters that have large bombs that can be carried. But first, what would you have to do? You would have to take, to get air superiority so that your planes would be safe attacking, you need to take out their radars and turn their anti-aircraft and their surface-to-air missiles that they have, and they do have them, as well as their command and control structures. And once you do have command of the air superiority, then you need to commence taking out the nuclear as well as the missile sites. We're talking dozens of missions, probably hundreds. And timing is critical here. It is very critical. And the fear is, once such a scenario begins. At some point, and probably quicker than we think, North Korea could start launching an attack on South Korea. A matter of fact, I would expect it, and that means they would start firing artillery into Seoul. So this is not an easy mission, and they have a large army, hundreds of thousands. Many of them are special forces. They have sleeper cells, agents, in South Korea. It's really South Korea that would get the brunt of the counterattack. There's a possibility if they have missiles, that they will launch them against Japan. And the question there is, would they be foolish enough or stupid enough to launch a nuclear weapon? I don't think so, because they knew if they did that, the United States would respond in kind and wipe out most of their military and the leadership. I'm outlining this for the simple reason it's not as simple as it appears. Presidents, premiers, dictators, tyrants can all talk tough. But at the sharp point of the spear are men and women, in this case, a lot of them pilots, but also those serving on submarines that launch the missiles, as well as on the aircraft carrier. That is a tempting target. He's threatened to take it out. I seriously doubt he has that much capability to do it, but he would try. And then the real question is, and this is where you have to think long and hard, what will be the response of Communist China and Russia? They do not want the United States sitting at their borders, and that's what would happen. In other words, we could win the war or the battle for North Korea, but lose the war in the sense that both Russia and Communist China have nuclear weapons. Now, they know if they were to launch against the United States, we would respond in kind. So they're not going to be as quick as this totalitarian dictator, some say he's mad, would respond. But when you're in a war, and this would be a real war that could lead quickly to World War III, you need to think about all this prior to issuing orders. We've definitely had a show of force, but we conduct these exercises periodically with South Korea, and North Korea responds with firing its artillery into South Korea. Oh, there are a lot of impressive videos with aircraft showing our submarine or aircraft carrier. In some respects, we're on the brink of war. The question is, will someone blink? Well, if someone's going to blink, he better blink quickly, because seem to be escalating this at a fairly rapid pace. And I think part of it is to bring the Senate in to the White House to explain what's going on. Now, I need to remind Congress, only Congress can declare war. This would be a war, and it should be declared. But I don't think that's going to happen. If we do launch a military attack on North Korea, there will be no declaration of war. Oh, we will brief the Senate and the House and the leadership what's going on, but President Trump will make that decision as commander-in-chief. So if it's a short war or engagement, that's to the United States' benefit. But if this drags out and becomes a full-blown conventional war, it's going to be bloody, violent, with many, many deaths on both sides. Many people will die. And it probably will go on for months, if not a year or more. And the outcome? I can't predict it. Oh, ultimately, I think the United States would win, but no side would be free of losses. So we're slowly but surely heading for war. The warmongers in the Senate are banging the drums. They really like Donald Trump. When he acts like this, decisively as a commander-in-chief, they love him. I was in the newsroom. Senator Lindsey Graham was congratulating the president for his handling of North Korea. Maybe even John McCain. Senator McCain will do that. Remember, it was both Senator McCain and Senator Lindsey Graham that simply did not want Donald Trump to be president. They're part of the neoconservative or the neocon wing, or let's say small group, a rather noisy warmongering group that would like to take the country to war, not only here, but with Iran and with Syria. There's not a war that they don't want the United States. We can't miss it. They're the modern day imperialists. And they're banging their drums. Yes, they were both in the military, but so was I. Ladies and gentlemen, this is very, very dangerous. And we'll see who backs down. Will the North Koreans back down? I don't know. If we're dealing with a crazy person, a psychopath, a sociopath, take your pick. And he probably fits that situation. In this case, I think he's very insecure. It's a lot of bluster. That bluster will go away if some warning shots are fired. And I think that's what it's going to take. Each side has been escalating the rhetoric. But it's rhetoric. It's just words spoken, clearly for each other's benefit. Who is prepared to fire that first shot? The dictator has had several warnings. And China knows what the president wants. Our president told them when the Chinese president was here. So I think it's been more or less communicated clearly to all the parties. When will it start? I don't know. Probably within the next week to 10 days, if not sooner. But it depends on whether or not North Korea backs down. So I wanted to alert you, we are very much quickly approaching a decision point for action that could put this country and one or more countries at war. A very dangerous war, especially if it escalates to a nuclear war or escalates into a full-scale conventional war between North Korea and South Korea. And we'll know more Wednesday, Thursday, after the meeting with the Senate. I'm sure some of the details will come out. Now, what's interesting, and this is the second story. Now, if you're in New York, you're probably aware of this. But if you're not in New York, you probably never heard of what I'm going to talk about. And that's Operation Gotham Shield 2017. What is that? It's a simulation, a desktop exercise of a nuclear and an electronic magnetic pulse attack over New York City. Supposedly, under the scenario that they're simulating, two nuclear bombs are deactivated, but two nuclear bombs explode. One over New York City and one on the Canadian-New York border. Now, the danger of an EMP, an electronic magnetic pulse attack. What that is, you explode a nuclear weapon at very high altitudes, and that pulse will destroy. It's like a radio wave, but it does damage to computers, radio, all your electronic equipment that runs on electricity, your cars, gas pumps, television, radio, all our computers, our grid carrying electricity, anything that is not protected, and very few people, with the exception really of the Department of Defense, have tried to protect the equipment. So why is this catastrophic to the United States or New York if it were just done over New York? You wouldn't have any electrical power. And your vehicles wouldn't run. How are you going to get food into a city like New York? Think about that. Many people rely on medicine. So you wouldn't have any lights, power at all in your home. It gets both hot in the summer and cold in the winter. It would take probably a year or more to bring back the electrical power. Actually, more than that. Depends how severe it is. Because you'd have to rebuild the grid more or less from scratch. So there'd be no internet, no communications over the radio or television. You'd quickly run out of food, water, and many, many people would die. Not all at once, over a year or two. The extent of the casualties really depends on how quickly the United States can bring back the electrical grid. It really damages all electrical type machinery, equipment, appliances. Think of it as frying them. That would be one way to think of it. Can't repair them. And that quickly makes you start thinking of how we take for granted electrical power. It refrigerates our food. We use it to cook our food. All of that would be gone. Even if you have food stored, you'll run out. Some people will be prepared. Very few, though. You more or less couldn't move around very easily for the simple reason your cars won't work. So if you try to go anywhere, you're going to be walking or maybe on a bicycle. But where are you going to go? Because a wide area will be out of electricity. And in a very concentrated, in terms of population, where population density is very high, along the East Coast, New York City, Washington, D.C. So this is a good exercise, but people have been concerned. Is this, remember, what was going on during 9-1-1? They were doing an exercise too, a simulation. The feds were doing a simulation. And now they're doing one now of a nuclear blast, an EMP blast, and it goes from April 24th and 25th. Actually, it goes into tomorrow. It's been going on, and you probably haven't heard of it. Isn't it interesting? It's a coincidence with what's going in North Korea? Maybe it is. Now, those that believe in conspiracy theories don't like coincidences. They think this is a false flag. And when you have a false flag, you have something along the lines of what they're simulating actually happen. I'm not going down that road, but it's getting a lot of attention on the internet. Not on or in your national television networks and newspapers. Oh, yes, you can go on YouTube, type in Operation Gotham Shield, and you'll get a lot of videos. Some people are very, very worried. I think you should have these drills, actually more often. And I've always been concerned with EMP-type blasts, because most Americans simply have never heard of it. It would cripple this country. The key is where the nuclear weapon is exploded, how high it is. And that means a foreign power, whoever does this, or a terrorist, would have to get the weapon either into the United States, but get it at altitude. What is suspected that someone trying this would do is try to ship it in on a ship, and explode it off the coast, and fire a missile into the air, and then explode or detonate the nuclear weapon at very high altitude. So if you haven't heard of EMP or Operation Gotham Shield, check it out. People of New Jersey and New York that are paying attention know about it. This is serious, folks, and I mean very serious. Probably one of the greatest threats this country faces is the damage to our U.S. power grid that an EMP burst at high altitude would cause. And probably tens of millions of Americans would die because of lack of food, water, medicine, electricity to heat or cool their homes, refrigerate their food, cook their foods. And for those that are new to the show, the way you listened to the show is go to my companion blog, prankpops.wordpress.com. This is show 880. I'll probably have this posted, if not today, sometime tomorrow afternoon. But do your homework. I provide all my listeners additional information so they can make up their own mind. I'm giving you my opinion, my commentary on news stories. And these are two very serious news stories. We live in dangerous times. Interesting and dangerous times. Now, the last story I want to touch upon is border security. Now, if you're a Trump supporter, you probably voted for him because President Trump, when he was running for president, made it very, very clear if he were elected president, he was going to build a big, beautiful, huge wall with a door in it and have the Mexicans pay for it. I'm sure you heard that once. You've heard it probably a dozen times. And now that Donald Trump is in the White House as president, he's repeated it. But to get the wall constructed, to start building that wall, they're now calling it a barrier, which means it probably will not be a wall, at least for large chunks of that barrier. I don't care if you call it a barrier, a fence, a double fence, a wall, as long as it permanently keeps out, the millions of illegal aliens that have been crossing over that border for 15 to 20 years. And it's not 10 million, folks. As I said in my show yesterday, for every one illegal alien that they detain or apprehend at the border, the U.S. Border Patrol will tell you a minimum of 3 get away, and the average is closer to 5. So for everyone they caught, 3 make it into the United States and are in primarily around 12 states, including Texas, California, Florida, where you have agricultural interest as one of the big magnets, but they're in other industries, construction, hospitality, hotels, restaurants, meatpacking, construction, any place you need cheap, compliant labor and doesn't require really a high school or, for that matter, a college degree, janitorial services, maintenance, gardening. There's a whole list of industries. Supposedly, if you believe the government, the number of illegal aliens crossing the U.S.-Mexican border is dramatically down. We'll see. But keep in mind, that's just one way, and maybe half or 60% somewhere in that neighborhood do come through the U.S.-Mexican border. But the remaining people come here mostly legally to show their passport, but they need a visa, and they overstay their visa. Why? They want to stay here. They like it here. They might come on a student visa, a business visa, a tourist visa. There's a whole range of visas. but they all have expiration dates. And you're agreeing to go home when that expiration date hits. But about 40% of the illegal aliens here don't. They know they're breaking the law, and they're living and working across this nation. So it's not just those that are coming primarily through the U.S.-Mexican border that you need to be concerned about. You also need to be concerned about the illegals that stay here after coming here illegally. In other words, it's up to Department of Justice, Department of Homeland Security to prosecute people, enforce immigration law. We don't know how many they are. It's been described as trying to count the uncountable, and estimates range from 30 to 60 million. Not all of them work. Many are children or mothers, and they're attracted. The primary reason they come here is jobs, a higher standard of living, security. But the United States has a generous welfare programs, many dozens, as well as medical care. They can go to emergency rooms, and we educate the children. That's the magnet. Jobs are the primary magnet. But when you combine that with a comprehensive welfare system, that's why they keep coming. And they will continue to come until the United States government, who has primary responsibility for the enforcement of immigration laws, start to enforce the law, not just at the border, but in the interior of the United States. That requires judges, attorneys, agents, investigators, buildings, holding cells, and it will take at least a decade to process them through that system, assuming there's a will to do that. And I'm simply not convinced there is. Oh, we'll go after the truly criminal aliens in the sense that they've committed serious crimes. Everyone supports that, or nearly everyone. But what the American people want is the federal government to do its job. They believe in the rule of law and expect the federal government to enforce the law. That's what has not been happening. Vigorously enforcing the laws that are on the book. We don't need additional immigration law. And I've heard that many, oh, we need to change immigration law. No, first you need to roll back the invasion. I'm getting into this because the Democrats, and I did on this last show, this is Monday's show, the Democrats and their minority leader, Chuck Schumer, from New York, are threatening to shut down the government over the wall. Now, the Republicans have replied, well, this is about border security. You need money to build a wall. You need money to design, build the wall. And it's nearly 2,000 miles long. Now, many sections are already in place, especially in large cities or near large cities. But what people do is they just go further out until the fence runs out. And wherever that is, that's where they cross over. So it's very much a law enforcement concern. It needs leadership from the top on down to first stop the invasion that is still happening. Even if the numbers are down, it's still happening. What many suspect, including me, is the ones that are here are not trying to go back. And many of the people that truly wanted to come here, they're already here. They're waiting to see what happens. And remember, the illegal immigration problem that we have on the border is also very much a drug problem. That's where the profits are. Yes, it's illegal, and because it's illegal, the people that manufacture and distribute those drugs make a huge fortune, and they will continue to smuggle those drugs into the United States as they have been smuggling people into the United States. If we want to get a handle on it, we need the wall. We need border security. We need a barrier, and that could be a wall, but it could also be a double fence, a single fence. There's a whole range of alternatives, but it needs to be from California all the way across Texas and points in between. It needs to be patrolled. It needs to have surveillance cameras that can catch people trying to break into the country so the Border Patrol can go out and detain them. What they also need to do, and I've yet to see one news story on this, they need to go after the businesses, the employers that employ these people. They're breaking the law. The laws are already on the books. And it's across this nation. And as I said on the last show, the owner-donor class, the ODs, the very, very wealthy, the billionaires, the multi-millionaires that own and really run this country, they buy politicians or rent them of both parties, and number one or two on their agenda is to increase the number of citizens by providing amnesty, a pathway to citizenship, first for all the illegal aliens that are here, but also those that subsequently come. They favor open borders because they want cheap, compliant labor, and the Democratic Party has decided to cast their lot with the illegal aliens against the interest and concerns of the American people, the American worker. It needs to stop, but the Democratic Party and its leadership have made it clear that they will not fund the wall in the 2017 budget that ends September 30th, 2017. We have about 5 months. Donald Trump initially was insisting on that we definitely needed funding in that for the wall. Now Republicans and the administration are calling it a barrier. What they're really calling it is border security. They don't want to shut down the government. I don't want them to shut down the government. I want them to downsize the government and really shut it down permanently, or at least large portions of it. Because that is truly the number one problem facing the American people today, is out of control government spending. And until you cut, and I mean real cuts, not these phony baloney cuts in the growth rates of the budgets of these agencies and departments, I mean real cuts. The way you mean a cut in the budget. So until the administration, together with Congress, legitimately cuts back on the spending of government across departments and agencies, our number one problem being what I call spending addiction or addiction disorder will continue. That should be a priority. And yes, the president has made cuts to various departments. But the proof's in the pudding, and it's up to Congress. Not the president can propose anything he wants and can cut the budgets of departments. It's up to the Republicans that control the House and the Senate to actually do it. Otherwise, we'll continue to run these massive deficits of hundreds of billions of dollars, where $1 billion is $1,000 million. The status quo will continue. Neither political party, the Democratic Party, is a lost cause, but the Republican Party is just as bad. Neither party can balance the budget, and that requires prudence. It requires a sense of responsibility, and it requires facing criticism both from big lie media as well as their own constituents. They're afraid of the people. They should be afraid of the people, because the people, the American people, are not in a very good mood. They feel that their representatives, their senators, have betrayed them. They have not honored their oath of office. And as a result, we continue to have immigration as an important issue. And it's important because the American people see that the millions of people that are now in the country compete directly with them to get jobs. And that's what's holding them back in terms of their household income. It's been more or less flat, or in some years declining, because they've had to compete with tens of millions of criminal illegal aliens. They've broken into the country. They've gotten fraudulent documents that are felony, and they work here every day without having an employee authorization document or so-called work permit. That's another felony. It's a crime wave. It's a national security concern. It's a drug concern. But it impacts all Americans in terms of the cost of labor and the competition in the labor market. And the reason why it's gotten this bad, we've had both Republican presidents and Democratic presidents that would not enforce the law, would not listen to the American people and their demands to enforce the law. And that's why you've had a fundamental disconnect between the ruling class, what I call the political elitist establishment, the P's for short, the political elitist establishment, largely bought and paid for by large corporations, the executives and owners of large corporations. And they ignore what the American people are demanding, namely the enforcement of immigration law. While this is over time and will get worse, the American people can't stand this. They've given chances to the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, and they have been betrayed. They've been double-crossed. And I suspect that Donald Trump might double-cross them. because I really think he does favor what's called touchback amnesty, providing you're not one of these illegal aliens that commit serious crimes, either in their home country or in the United States, provided you don't have a record, in other words. Donald Trump has more or less indicated, provided you go home and then reapply, that he would give work permits or employment authorization documents. It's a card. It looks like a driver's license. Not many people heard that. Oh, he said it a couple of times. It wasn't a secret. You see, I think the fix is in, and that's why I didn't vote for him. I didn't trust him. He was very, very good on immigration, provided he didn't look too closely. And you're relying on his word, and he'll be quick to point out, well, I never said I wasn't going to give him work permits. That's the fix. Not too many years ago, a senator from Texas, as well as many in the Republican Party, that's what they favored, touchback amnesty. Amnesty in the sense, yeah, we know they committed crimes, but they weren't serious. So we'll give them, if they come, go back to their country, then reapply. We'll give them the visa. We give them the work permit when they get here. And they can work here and after a period of years become citizens. It's all about giving citizenship to all the illegal aliens that are here in the United States now. And that's the concern. It's not about the American worker anymore. It's not about the American people anymore. The big concern is, what are we going to do with the illegal aliens? How are we going to handle this? We need comprehensive immigration reform. No, you don't. You need to enforce the law. We are a nation of law, not a nation of men. But the people that run this country and their bought and paid career politicians have broken their oaths to protect, preserve, and defend the Constitution of the United States. If they would do that, we largely wouldn't have this problem. But that oath is ignored seconds after they take it. If we're truly lived up to, immigration today would not be a wedge issue. It's a wedge issue. It is dividing this country. And the political parties and their leadership want to give citizenship to all the illegal aliens that are here, and the Democratic Party wants to encourage more illegal aliens to enter the country, either by flying here with a visa and then overstaying the visa, or breaking into our country, primarily across the U.S.-Mexican border. But we have other ways that they enter the country illegally. And if you stay here a couple of years, ultimately the plan is you'll get citizenship and then you can register to vote. And the Democratic Party believes they'll get 2 out of 3 minimum, if not 3 out of 4. And once that happens and citizenship is granted, the Democratic Party believes they will become the single party dominating the House and the Senate and the presidency. That's why they're not going to give up on this issue. I can give this show over and over again. They're not going to give up. And what sticks in their craw is the wall. Because to some extent, that really messes up their plans. They wanted an open border, easy access to this country. And to the extent that we actually build the wall, patrol the wall, enforce the law, that really ruins their plans. But that's only part of the problem. We have to enforce the law against the people that are here illegally today. And that's going to take years. Some would say decades, because I think the number is somewhere between 30 million and 60 million. No one knows exactly, but I'll tell you what, it's not. It's not 10 million. So the Democrats have been threatening to shut down the government over the wall. We'll see. We are running out of time. What I think is going to happen is they'll pass a continuing resolution to keep the government open. That's what the Republican Party will do. However, if the Democratic Party is successful in shutting down the government, blame the Democrats, because they made it very clear it's all about the wall. They do not want that wall. And I can understand why. It's a key way they can get back into power and stay in power for a long time. Because once that happens, game, set, match. If you play tennis, it's all over. Because that means all the illegal aliens that are here, and it'll take a few years, will get citizenship. And then it is all over. Imagine if your party, I'll take the low end, gets 30 million out of the 30 million illegal aliens that if they should get citizenship, they get 2/3. They get 20 million additional registered voters. They don't care about you and me anymore. They don't care about the American worker. They don't even care about the union members. It's all about votes and getting votes through giving citizenship to all those that are broken into the country. all the illegal aliens. In my mind, they're all criminal illegal aliens. Many of them are nice people, hard workers. I didn't invite them. You didn't invite them. But our government, through its politicians, did. I asked them, please go home. You're not wanted here. But that's not what the owner-donor class, the people that own the country, own the corporations. They want cheap labor, cheap compliant labor, and they're not going to give in. And they will try to bribe by making campaign contributions, both Democratic and Republican politicians, to get their votes and make sure that they vote for reforming the immigration laws so most of the illegal aliens that are currently here eventually become citizens. Let the Democrats try to shut down the government. Let them. And I agree. Make it about border security, because that's what they're doing. They want the illegal alien invasion to continue and get it back to where, on average, 1 million were coming into the country illegally every year. 1 million. Well, let me rephrase that. 1 million were being apprehended at the border, but three times that got away. So 3 million were coming here year in, year out. Yeah, about a third of them went home, but that still leaves about 2 million a year, and over a 15 to 20 year period, that's a lot of people, folks. Who knows the real number of illegals in the country? I don't know. The government should, and maybe they do, but they're not telling you. It's millions, tens of millions of illegal aliens. That's why we need to roll back the invasion, and it will take the administration, two administrations of Trump and two administrations of Mike Pence, should he get the nomination and win, to make even a big dent in that number. Oh, yes, go after the illegal aliens, the criminal illegal aliens that have committed serious crime. No one's against that. Most people want that. The murderers, the rapists, people that assault, attack people, the child abusers, the drunks that smash into your car, the robbers, the burglars, put them in jail and send them back home. But that at best is 5%, and I think that's high. I think it's more like 2 or 3% of that 30 to 60 million that are here. So at most you're talking maybe 5 million people. That will take several years in and of itself. So we'll see whether in fiscal year 2018, and that budget needs to be passed by 1 October, they're still working on the budget for 2017. That's why there's a continuing resolution. We'll see if the funds for border security, a wall, a barrier, a fence, are in that budget. That's where President Trump has indicated, and he did walk it back on the 2017. But he's going to insist that the money be there. Remember, the Mexican government was going to pay for the wall. That can be done. You put a tax, 10% tax, could be higher or lower, on all remittances from illegal aliens that are here back into their country of origin. The majority are Mexicans, together with several other Central American countries, Guatemala, El Salvador, Honduras, also from the Caribbean and South America. They're from many, many countries. But the majority of the illegals are Mexican, as well as Central Americans, by far. That invasion needs to be stopped. That is the responsibility of the federal government, and I wish they would do their job. But it didn't happen under George W. Bush, and it didn't happen under Barack Obama. You were misled and lied to, and they're trying it again, both Democrats and Republicans, to pass comprehensive immigration reform. What they're really talking about is giving citizenship to all the illegal aliens that are here. And they're willing to shut down the government to do that. Inconvenience you. Well, I want to thank you for listening, and we'll provide you additional information on what's happening in the confrontation between the United States and North Korea. And I hope we don't have a World War III. Now, America the Beautiful.
My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show.
Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.